Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Weiner, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Do you have a job, a career, or a mission? Do you know the difference? In our hurried world, it's easy to find ourselves living in constant distraction, bouncing from one thing to the next. We've embraced an ethos of busyness as we try and climb and attain and rise up from where we are. It's a stressful existence of competition and survival and struggle. In today's podcast and post, we continue our series entitled Launch Your Life with a deeper look at our work. Join me now as we see beyond climbing the ladder of many things into a satisfying life where no matter what we do, we are really only doing one thing. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. I want to welcome you to today's program. My name is Kevin Weiner. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world. I'm just like you. And folks, we find ourselves today in part four of a series entitled Launch Your Life. And if you haven't tuned into the previous three episodes, I want to invite you to go back and check it out. You can do so at my website, kevinweiner.com. Remember, I spell my name with an E and not an I. Kevin like the number seven, so kevinweiner.com. And while you're there, why don't you sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Many of you who get these posts get it and access the podcast, the recording from there. Many of you tune in from Pandora, iTunes, iPod, wherever it comes out, the podcast, and I want to invite you to go and sign up for the newsletter. There's a lot of content in there that you can get access to, and I'd love to connect everybody as a family. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome to this program. I know I haven't been taking it in the direction that you probably anticipated, and that's what you're going to expect from content like this. And so let's begin our look. This is part four, and we're going to look at our career, our job, and it's titled From a Job to a Mission. From a Job to a Mission. It's podcast number 289 of the Launch Your Life series, part four. So, okay, now let's think about our life for just a second. We all have to go to work. We spend the majority of our time, our waking hours, at work, trying to earn a living, trying to get by in life. And it's not always easy. It's a struggle. Now, our world, as we're going to learn, is increasingly technologically advanced, which means if you want to catch the wave, if I use a surfer's analogy, you don't want to fall behind the wave where you're paddling on your board. If you want to drop in, you're going to need skills, education, training that's going to make you marketable. Without that, you have to paddle extremely hard in our life. And because of that, we get very distracted. And we always, especially in my coaching or the uncoaching process that I offer, people are always very disconnected between their life of work and their life. This idea of work-life balance is always a dichotomy. It's a binary. I think we can get beyond that. And so long as we think of our life as an endless stream of different activities that we bounce between every day, then our life has not launched. You're still kind of stuck in the larval stage of development. You're fixed. You're a seed in the ground. There's no blossom, right? If your life is, I do this, and then I do that, and then I do this, and then I do that, and then I do that, and then I do that, it's disintegrated. So that's the definition we're working from. The goal then is to integrate. What does that look like when it comes to the fact that you have a job with the many different things you got to do, right? I mean, our lives are full of many things which require our attention, our time, and which fill up our schedules. I mean, everybody's so busy. Everybody's schedule is so full. Have you ever tried to get like four people together for coffee? Sometimes it's impossible. It's 2 months out, 3 months out before you can align everybody's schedule and they get this one window where it might work. Now, until we're able to see each and everything we do as a facet, a part of a single thing, which all converge and integrate, then our life remains kind of fettered. It's chained to where we started. Now, this is maybe an abstract concept for you. Maybe you haven't heard of this kind of resolution to the problem. Maybe you've always thought that in order for me to find satisfaction, in order for me to kind of be happy in life, I have to have a better paying job, a better job I enjoy. I have to give my life to the passions that I have. And so we're going to talk about this and why our world is kind of increasingly getting more lost. It's finding itself more in despair, in struggle. Now, I told you that it was going to take a different set of eyes to see what I'm offering here. And so by way of example, we're going to explore this idea of our work, this thing, the single thing, by looking through the lens of our career, our work, our daily endeavor. And most people can articulate the difference between a job and a career, right? I think most people get that sense. Oh, well, a job is something you might have as a teenager. I work at the 7-Eleven, and it's a job for the summer, right? Or I mow lawns, or I do whatever. You might say, well, those are just the things I do as I prepare for my career. And that's typically the viewpoint of a younger person. But if you're the manager of the 7-Eleven or you do a landscaping business, then those are careers. So we see the difference, right? But not very many people can differentiate the difference between a career from a vocation. And few can differentiate even still between a vocation and a mission. And so on one side of this spectrum is a job, which is a means to an end. On the other side of the spectrum is a mission, which is an end in itself. And this creates the tension, this creates the philosophies of how we go about our life and say, how do we prepare ourselves to give our lives away into this portion of our life that's going to take up the biggest amount of time? Do I give it away to make the most amount of money, or do I give it away to be the most satisfying? And in the middle is this career which takes much more time or personal insight. It takes an investment in order to secure a career. And the vocation, which by its very name attests to a calling, it's a deeper basis of engagement. So we have all these kind of layers on this continuum. And I think people think, well, I have to move from a job to a career, and I have to move from a career to a vocation, and I have to move from a vocation to a mission, and I have to somehow work my way through all this, doing all these different things. Now, societies and governments, they need you, they need me to be earners and taxpayers so that these big institutions can begin their propaganda early on in our childhood, right? What do you want to be when you grow up, Tommy? The educational system, which we have today, was designed in the industrial age of America to train people to listen to the shop foreman and bark orders while the worker bees all comply in step. And that's still the model. You have a teacher at the front of classroom telling everybody what to do. This was because the American workforce required an endless stream of widget builders, lever pullers, assembly people. It was working class industrial revolution. The dream was to have a job at all. Like, most people didn't have jobs. They survived off the land. They tried to farm. They tried to barter. They traded skill for something, but they didn't have a constant daily place to go and work. And once that became a thing, that was the dream. The dream was having the job. The opportunity was to make a meager way in life. It's just to survive on a regular, continual basis. the work itself wasn't existentially satisfying. Satisfaction had to come by way of contributing and other kinds of progress. That's a profoundly insightful historical way of looking at things, right? Now, today, our educational propaganda machine and structure, it still trains children to be worker bees, pulling levers and then sends them into higher education, where there's an entirely different ethos. There's an entirely different propaganda machine devaluing the labor efforts in favor of finding a means to earn a living by way of something that's more existentially satisfying. Like, hey, don't just go after the money. You need to follow your passions. And I like the host of the show Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe. He has a great post on this where he talks about don't follow your dreams or your passion. Follow opportunity. Now, that is huge, and a lot of people do so, and when they follow opportunity, they're highly successful. People who follow their dreams often are not successful. And this has to do with this confusion over this kind of, you know, scale that I showed you at the beginning. The quagmire of confusion is epidemic right now. The shift to chase our satisfaction instead of opportunity is leaving more people dissatisfied, marginalized, and impoverished, confused, because they gave all their time and their resources toward gaining knowledge and skills which the market can't reward. Like, it's nice that you have a degree in underwater basket weaving if that's your passion. But there's not a market for that. So when you get out, don't expect to earn a living that will pay for that. See, the economic disparity in our world and culture is not due to imbalance or unfairness. You realize there's always been imbalance and unfairness. There's always been really wealthy people for whom they can get things easier. There's always been imbalance in intelligence. Some people are way smarter than you. There's imbalance in physical ability. There's imbalance in all of this exists. It always has. So it's crazy in our world to blame this on all of that. The disparity comes from an insistence on ignorance about what is required to remain economically viable in an increasingly technologically advanced society. Like, if you, right now, there are so many tech jobs that need to be filled that can't be filled. So we import many, many, many people from all over the world, China and India, because they're really, mostly because they produce so many tech-skilled people. Now, think about that. We have a lot of high-end jobs that are open that can't be filled. We have a lot of low-end jobs that aren't being filled because people don't want to do them. As a person fails to stay ahead of the wave and keep pace with innovation, as long as they're not providing a skill that's marketable, they become obsolete. If their skills were ever viable in the first place, that's a scary thing to think about. And that's what's happening. We have people getting out of college who are already obsolete. They never even got started because they didn't consider the fact that I need to follow opportunity. They said they were told something about following their bliss. And I did that, and I'll tell my story here in a minute. Now, just to be clear, this is not an economic or a political side tangent I'm taking here. This is important. Success in modern societies like America require high levels of consciousness. You have to have high levels of awareness and intelligence to be successful here. If you don't have your crap together, forget about being marketable. Those which possess these traits are not only more conscientious people, but are far more successful in any role in which they serve, regardless of age or experience. This Conscientiousness was studied and found to be the single greatest indicator of personal success. That's all about consciousness, awareness, and intelligence, emotional intelligence. See, these traits allow a person to do any job with excellence because they welcome service as the ethos instead of something else. Anyone who avoids service as an ethos simultaneously deflects any opportunity for existential satisfaction, and that's the key. You see that? So what I just layered in there for you is how to be happy at work. Like, you think it's you're unhappy at work because of your job or the people there or your low pay. It's not that. See, education and specific training can be very powerful, but they don't actually open the doors that our propaganda machine tells us that they do. See, the wrong education or training is actually worse than no training at all. Like, would you rather have a degree in French literature right now or no education at all? Like, if you did, you probably are in debt. You could be in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt to some prestigious college for a degree that is useless. When I graduated from college, the big thing was liberal arts, you know, and so, you know, having a liberal arts degree quickly became out of fashion, and I was unmarketable. I studied for the ministry, and then what do? If you don't want to work at a church, but that's what you studied, you have to reinvent your life and go back over. I was in debt paying off an education that wasn't paying my bills at all. It's worse to get the wrong training than to get no training at all. See, to launch one's life doesn't mean that we have to find a new career or get more schooling or change one's major. Now, those changes may eventually take place, and they might be something you need to do, but that's not the essence of launching your life. If you want to launch your life, then what we need to do is change the ethos to service and excellence within our present sphere, no matter what that sphere is. And then immediately we transform any job or many jobs into a single mission. So the difference between a job and a mission isn't the actual work you're doing. It's the platform, the ethos, the way you think about the work you're doing. You change the inside and your job becomes a mission. Now, you think that sounds a little too glib. It's too easy. It's, you know, whatever. It's not easy. And I can tell you it comes only by a huge dose of humble pie. You see, I learned this reality when I was working as a cleaner of portable toilets. And even though I held a master's degree in leadership, the lowest level worker on every construction site would look at me with pity when I rolled up to clean out the portable toilets on the construction site in my pumper truck. My job was disgusting by every external measurement. And that's when the story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples actually transformed my life. You see, if the Christ of God could humble himself as a servant, then somehow I could kill my pride and explore how it would change things in my life. Instead of praying, God, get me out of here. Like, I literally have the worst job. Like, whatever job you have, would you trade it to pump portable toilets? The chances are very, very high you wouldn't do that. But instead of praying, God, get me out of here, I learned how to pray, God, give me a heart to serve and to love. So what is your hope and prayer? God, give me more money. God, give me a chance. God, help me. Are you asking God to bless you with work you won't do? Like, you know, 4 years ago, did you know you needed an education? And okay, and it's 4 years later, did you get one? Right? It's like, how are you praying? Is it one of escape? Or if it is, then you're skimming over life. You're missing it. You're still looking for a job. You're just looking for a better job, a different job, a change of job. You're not looking for a mission. You see, instead of cleaning the toilet in 45 seconds, which was the average, because I changed the ethos, I changed the way I thought about my job, it became a mission, I spent as much time as was needed to restore each unit to its best possible condition. I cleaned all the graffiti, I re-leveled it if it got tipped over by a skid loader or bent or something like that, or if the wind blew it over, it was vandalized. I cleaned it completely inside and out. Now, this meant that my days went from, 10 to 12 hours to 15 to 18 hours because each unit was a challenge, not to my body, but to my soul. See, as my pride was dying, my life was launching, one smelly toilet at a time. Now, one day, a construction worker walked over to the unit that I had just cleaned. And you know that when you put that much work into something, you kind of feel like, hey, I'd like to keep it nice. But I see this guy coming over. He's got mud on all of his boots. I know he's just going to destroy it with mud and yesterday's offering from the food truck, right? It's a mess. I get in my truck and I just start on my way to the next one. But he waves me down and I roll down my window and I meet him in the middle of the road. And he says this to me. He says, hey, I've been a construction worker my entire life. And the aspect that I hate most about my job are the portable toilets. They're disgusting. They smell. Sometimes they're dangerous. And it's uncomfortable. He says, ever since your company and you have come through and taken over this work, you've done such a good job that you have restored some dignity back to my life and to my workers. And I make sure that every one of them takes care of these so that you don't come and find a disaster. And that's when I figured it out, folks. I didn't have the low-level job that you would hate to have. I had a mission of bringing dignity back to the others through service. You see, the propaganda of the world tells us lies because it comes from the father of lies, the institution of lies. It lies to us and sends us into misery, in bondage, in slavery, and a life full of empty stress where we never find satisfaction in our work because we are endlessly finding fault with our boss, our territory, our commute, our hours, our pay, or something else. You see, we crawl and we climb over others thinking we're going to advance our life. We're going to make more money. And then one day in the future, we'll finally be happy. The lie starts us off on the wrong road. It's the superhighway along with everybody else, which ends in the destruction of our soul and the loss of ourself. Go ahead, chase your satisfaction through a career, right? Go ahead, follow your passion, whatever you want, you do it. But you'll be sitting in my coaching chair later in life when your kids hate you because you left it all at the office. You prioritized everything. Instead of being home raising and loving your kids, you farmed them out to people who don't love them. Right? And you wonder why as teenagers they don't listen. See, your spouse won't even recognize you anymore. And you're so jaded and cynical and full of hatred that your body is breaking down from the inside out. Is that the life you want? Guess what? That's the life, the lie, the father of lies sends us on. It's the road that's the superhighway of destruction. AC/DC calls it the highway to hell. Matthew chapter 7 says, enter through the narrow gate. The wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, the narrow, the thlebo, that's the word thlebo. That gate means it's constricted. It's a turnstile which allows for no attachments, no baggage, nothing to be clutched onto. So if you would launch your life like I am, we must do so by opening our hand to the lies and the propaganda about money and career and identity coming from our work instead of this ethos of service. We have to develop a heart to serve others in any role in which we find ourselves. The question is, look around you. Who needs you to empty yourself into their life right now? What's the most loving thing you can do right now? That's it. Serving is never a job. It's always a mission. While we can serve in countless ways, we're only doing one thing. See, the better we get at serving others, at humbling ourselves, the more valued we are, the less competition we face, the more capable we are at serving at greater levels. The more we empty ourselves, the more we are filled. It's the paradox of the kingdom. I've been talking about it this whole time. But it's the design of everything. The world is made one way. And if you don't operate according to the way the world was designed to operate, you're always in struggle and pain. If we truly want to be successful and to be happy, which are both the same thing, we can only get through via service. Down is the way up, folks. Now, once this ethos of service takes hold in our heart, our life is launched. You can go to the same job you had yesterday with a new attitude, and it's now a mission. And you can practice developing your mission every moment with every task of everything that's before you. And then when you get home, it's the same. What is before you to serve? How do I empty here? How do I empty here? And you learn that you are filled by emptying. You don't have to compete for filling. See, we'll never have another job again. You'll always be doing the same thing. You only do one thing your whole life. True service means that we only do this one thing the rest of our life, whether we are paid for it or not. It's the only path to true existential happiness. Serving is how we find ourselves. And when we do, we discover we are in the very footsteps of God. I'm going to close with this verse from Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 44. That Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, "You know how those who are considered rulers and of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. Their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." Now those are words to live by. God bless you.